society today has a lot of different memorials and ceremonies that are intended to honor those that we love and respect. The United States, for example, has days such as President's Day, Memorial Day, Veterans Day, so that its citizens will remember those who have given themselves in service for their country of one type or for one reason or the other. Even in the workplace, we honor those we work with. Or, of course, a lot of times the reason we do this is because the greeting card companies want money, but we have Secretary's Day. We have the employee picnic. We have Boss's Day. And these particular times are meant to honor those who do certain works of service or the other, to show appreciation for who they are. And of course, then we have the ever-popular Mother's Day, which you never want to forget because you get in trouble if you do. Father's Day, to remember the dads. Wedding anniversaries, these all really have a positive effect in helping relationships stay alive and stay healthy when they're done in a proper manner. Memorials are good. They're there for a reason. We understand the importance of making special times for those that we love and that we honor. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 31. You know, when we properly respect someone, when we properly want to show that we love them, we will do special things for them. Well, the fact is that we also have a relationship with our Creator God. And we need to spend time communicating in God with special times of honor and reverence for Him too. Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 33. The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. And it will not be like the covenant I made with their fathers when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, although I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. Now we're in the process of going through a series on the subject of the Ten Commandments. And we've gotten to commandment number 4 today. And this is a sermon on the fourth commandment. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And the sermon today is not going to consist of a number of rules of do's and don'ts and how to and how not to. I want to establish this sermon on the premise of why God has the Sabbath day for us, and why God has a Sabbath day for Him, and then what it should mean to you and me in our lives. And at the end of the sermon, I will show you how to properly keep the Sabbath, but it'll become obvious by the time we get done. Verse 33, Jeremiah 31 continues. It says, "This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people." This is about a relationship. A relationship between God the Father and His children. Between God the husband and the bride. It's about a very deep, meaningful relationship. Like a man and wife who make vows to love and to obey. At a marriage ceremony, there are those vows given between husband and wife that you will love them, you will die for them, until death do us part, and that type of thing. A covenant has been made with God when you were baptized. That you said, I take Him on as my father, I take Him on as my groom. And that's the way God views this. Our relationship with God is like that of a betrothal or a marriage. The most meaningful of relationships, I think, on earth. That was even beyond, oftentimes, that of a parent and a child. Although they are certainly extremely important relationships, but God likens his relationship with you and me on both levels. We won't turn over to all of these, but Isaiah chapter 54 and verse 5 says, "For your maker is your husband." Now guys, we have to put ourselves in the, you know, in this whole thing in the right way. Just a relationship with that person is very important to us. Well, this is our God. This is the one we're betrothed to. It says, "The Lord of hosts is his name, and your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth, he shall be called." Hosea chapter 2. Hosea chapter 2. It's a few pages over from where you were if you're in Jeremiah. In verse 19, the New International Version says, "I will betroth you to me forever." You know, betrothal was like being engaged for a couple under those circumstances. And it was like the marriage, except for the fact that it wasn't consummated. The marriage ceremony had not taken place. And that's the way it is with us, is that we are betrothed to God. It's like you're engaged to God on a very intimate level, but we're not married to him until the marriage of the Lamb after Christ's return. And so God looks at us as being his soulmate, if you will, or his spiritual mate. That's the way he views us. He continues to say in Hosea chapter 2, in verse 19, "I will betroth you in righteousness and justice, in love and compassion." God really cares for you. He cares what you do. He cares what you think. He cares how you respond. He cares how you interact with him. And then verse 20 says, "I will betroth you in faithfulness, and you will acknowledge the Lord." Like, I'm doing this for you because I love you so much. And he says, "And I expect you to acknowledge me in the same way." Where we have a relationship with God that is so spiritually intimate that we feel we are betrothed to him because we indeed spiritually are. We'll turn to 2 Corinthians 11, but verse 2, he says, "I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy." So he makes it a very personal thing with each of us. And so whoever you are, you have God's Spirit, you've given yourselves to God, he says he's jealous of you. He's jealous of the way you think. He's jealous of where your passions are, where your time is spent, where your mind is, and where your heart is. He is jealous of that with a godly jealousy. He says, "For I have betrothed you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." So we're betrothed to one husband. Now God has feelings for mankind that are similar to that of a husband and wife, or that of a father with his sons and daughters. And so that relationship where you're very close to your parents, if indeed you have that type of relationship, that is a lot like that relationship with you and God. And most people, as I said, honor each other through certain observances in their relationships to foster those healthy relationships, to make sure that they grow. Now, few people fail to recognize that God needs and wants our time and affections and effort also. People think they can take God's name and say they're close to God, but then just treat God however they choose. That's not the case. Malachi chapter 1. Malachi chapter 1. Notice how God speaks for himself on this subject. Again, this is a sermon about the Sabbath. Well, it's kind of a strange way to get to a sermon about the Sabbath, but on the other hand, unless we understand this completely in God's perspective of this holy day, then we may not understand how to keep the Sabbath and what God wants of you and me on this day and on the holy days that go along with it. In Malachi chapter 1, verse 6, it says, a son honors his father. It's Father's Day. Hey, Dad, let's go hunting. Let's go fishing. Will you play ball with me? You know, there's this relationship between the son and his father, and they want that bond. Whether they get it or not, that has to do with society and how we were raised and whether we're effective or ineffective, but that's what a son wants from his father and a daughter from her parents and a daughter to her father and so forth. And he said, and a servant gets honor from his master. You show up at work every day if you're employed, and unless you're self-employed, you show up to honor your master. And you give your time to him, your effort, and you put in your ton of coal, if you will. And then he says, if I am your father, or a father, where is the honor due me? No, God takes it very personally. Now, I took it very personally when my kids were going through the teenage years, and I think I've said before, some of you parents that think you're the worst parent, well, you're not, because we obviously were the worst parents, because our kids thought we were. You don't let us do everything we want, and all this, you know, the routine that teenagers oftentimes go through. And I felt really bad when they didn't think I was a very good parent. Now, retrospectively, look back and say, wow, you guys were really good parents. Appreciate, you know, what you did and all this type of thing, and I'm sorry we treated you like we did. But I felt really bad when my kid didn't think I was a good parent, when they didn't honor me by doing the things that they should have done or I wanted them to do. God feels the same way. He cares whether you honor him or whether you don't, or how you choose to honor him or whether you don't. So where is the respect due me? Verse 2 of chapter 2, Malachi 2, verse 2. He says, if you do not listen, and if you do not set your heart to honor my name, says the Lord Almighty, I'll send a curse on you and will curse your blessings. Yes, I've already cursed them because you have not set your heart to honor me. God wants our hearts. Like he said, I've got a covenant with you, and that covenant is, I want your heart. You've got mine. I want yours. How does God want us to show love and respect for him? You know, does God say, well, I want you to honor me, but in order to make you happy, you honor me however you want. It doesn't really matter. You know, it's just, we're just saying this because we don't really mean it. That's not the way God is. God says, you have my heart, I want your heart. And there are ways that we need to honor one another. How does that happen? John chapter 14 and verse 15. One way is, he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. He said there are certain ground rules to our love. That's what you did when, those of you that are married, when you gave your vows. You know, when you said, yes, I will love, honor, respect, I'll be faithful to you. You know, there were ground rules laid at the time that you were married. God says, I want you to love me. How do you do it? If you love me, keep my commandments. 1 John 5:3 says, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. So he already laid the ground rules. Just like you have ground rules at home. Say, you know, to your son or your daughter, now I expect you to respect me as a parent, and you will be home at such and such time. It's part of the rules here. No, you will not go and do whatever you want. You will not bring drugs into the house or have sex outside of marriage. Or you're certainly not going to bring it here if you choose to do something that is outside of what God wants. You lay those ground rules. So God, what he's saying is, if you really love me, here are 10 ways that you can show me to love me. He says, if you really love me, then don't worship any other gods. And that was fair enough in a marriage relationship when you said, I'm going to be betrothed to you and only to you. You're going to be my only mate. And we're not going to have relationships outside of the marriage. That's sin. We're not going to do it. Okay? That's what God is saying here. Don't worship any other gods. Then he says, if you truly love me, don't use images to worship me. Especially don't worship other images. He said, these are some of the rules, the way I want you to love me. If you really want to show love for me, be careful how you use my name. Don't misuse it or take it lightly. Or don't take it in a vain manner that really doesn't show that you're mine. And now he's saying, if you're thankful that I called you, if you want to show your love for me, I want to set aside an anniversary date every week. That anniversary reminds us of who we are. It reminds us of what our relationship is. It reminds us that you are my bride, and I am your groom. But I'm your father, and you're my child. And we're going to spend time together. We're going to do things that celebrate this relationship. It's not that we don't during the rest of the week. Certainly we do, and we treat each other well, and we respect one another, but we get busy, and we don't have that much time, but now we're making time. It's like a weekly anniversary. Notice again how he puts this relationship issue in here. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 3. Leviticus 19, verse 3. It's kind of short here. I think it's very interesting how he combines this verse and why. Leviticus 19, verse 3. Each of you must respect his father and mother. So he's going to the commandment on honor your father and your mother. Work with one another. Show respect to one another. Build relationships with one another. Very, very important. But notice in the same breath, he says, and you must observe my Sabbaths. Whoa! You know, there's one that seems to go another direction. Honor your father and mother and observe my Sabbaths. No, it's not going another direction. It's showing the like type of relationship. As a father or son honors his father, so you honor me on this Sabbath day. That's one of them. The Sabbath is a time that we are able to show that we honor, love, and respect our God. It says, I am the Lord your God. Turn to Exodus chapter 31. Exodus chapter 31. In the Old Testament, if you look at numbers of times that the Ten Commandments are spoken of, the two that are most commonly discussed, because they're the two that were most commonly rejected by Israel, were idolatry and Sabbath keeping. Idolatry and Sabbath keeping. Of course, we've shown how idolatry, what that means, and how that applies to other commandments and so forth. But those are the ones that God spoke most about by numbers in the Old Testament, and the ones that he drove home the point most strongly on. And then he said, I'm taking this relationship into your hearts. For this isn't just a relationship in name, it's a relationship in heart. Exodus chapter 31, verse 12. Then the Lord said to Moses, say to the Israelites, you must observe my Sabbaths, and this will be a sign between me and you for the generations to come, so that you may know I am the Lord who makes you holy. It's kind of like our Independence Day. It's a day that shows on an annual basis this country and what the country should mean to us. And we gained our independence, and we're thankful to be able to live in a country as blessed as this is and with the abundance that it has. God says, we have a relationship now, and the Sabbath is a bind to that. It's like an anniversary of our relationship, a weekly anniversary. But God tells us how we can honor him. Mankind has decided that Sabbath observance is not important to God. Now, on what basis did man decide the Sabbath doesn't mean anything to God? Or idolatry doesn't mean anything to God? If you look up every instance where the word Sabbath is used in the Bible, you can come to no other conclusion than God wants us to honor Him through worship on this most important day of the week. Mark chapter 2, verse 27. You know, there are those who say, well, the Sabbath isn't discussed in the New Testament, and so that means that God no longer cares about the Sabbath. He cared about all these other commandments, but the one that He was so passionate about in the Old, and the one that He showed that made so much sense to Him, and He wanted people to honor Him with in the Old, and says, remember it and don't forget it, he just changed His mind. And there's even a verse that says in Mark chapter 2 and verse 27, and He said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was something I created for you. It's my wedding gift to you, if you will. Something that is going to help keep us bound together until the return of Christ, when that wedding takes place, and we are spirit being, and we're with Him forever and ever. And it's that betrothal gift, I guess you could call it. And the Sabbath was made for man. He put a lot of time and thought and effort into what is going to really keep those who love me close to me. And the Sabbath was it. Verse 27, therefore the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. He calls Himself the Lord of the Sabbath because it was made for our good. Now, some people look at this verse and they claim, well, since the Sabbath was made for man, that means we don't have to keep it. That's their explanation. Right? Well, it was made for us and we can do with it whatever we want. Now, that line of reasoning doesn't even make sense on any level that I can consider. Would a man tell his wife that since the observance of our anniversary is for your benefit and our benefit, that we don't have to keep it anymore? It would be just as ludicrous. Like any engaged or married couple, God has special times of remembrance that are intended to keep the relationship going and growing. And if people begin to forget the anniversaries, if people begin to forget the special times, the relationships oftentimes fade. And some of you have experienced that on a physical level in a relationship. Imagine a wife's response to her husband if he suddenly announced that, yes, our wedding date was March 25th, but he said, you know, I had a high school sweetheart that I really loved a lot, and she was just really special to me. And so, you know, I love you, honey, and we'll keep doing the anniversary, but we're going to change the date to the day that we met. You know, I remember something very special happened with my childhood sweetheart and everything, so we're going to change the date of our anniversary to the date that my childhood sweetheart and I met. Now, consider what you think the response of your wife would be if you said that. I mean, you know, we're talking shock, rage, anger, disbelief, dismay, sadness. They go through this whole range of emotions, and then after you pick yourself off the ground, you know, then the whole thing would probably go away, right? How do you think God feels? When God says, I set aside the special day, I created the Sabbath day and made it holy for you. Sabbath was made for man, and it was for all of our benefit. And then man says, well, I appreciate it, God, but, you know, I've got some other things, and my Sunday is good, works for me. I'm really not concerned what day you set aside, God. 1 Samuel chapter 2. 1 Samuel chapter 2. Now this gives an example of how God feels and what His emotions are in this whole thing. God is a jealous God, it says. 1 Samuel chapter 2. You know, somehow, you know, we know that we can't spurn those, you know, who are human that are around us. You know, we've got to give, you know, Mother's Day card and, you know, Father's Day and, you know, do these things and honor those we love. And we can't forget them because we get in trouble. We say, well, but God, He's far off. It really doesn't mean that much. And I'll just kind of make my own rules in the process. 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 29, New International Version. He says, why do you scorn my sacrifice and the offering that I prescribed for my dwelling? Here's how I wanted it done. This means something to me. That's why I said, do it this way. And you know, this was Eli and his sons. But he says, Eli says, why do you honor your sons more than me? Does God care? Well, I don't have time for God because I got this family I have to tend to. Yes, you have to tend to your family, but do it God's way and putting God first. By fattening yourselves in the choice parts of every offering made by my people Israel. Verse 30, therefore, the Lord, the God of Israel, declares, I promised that your house and your father's house would minister forever before me, but now the Lord declares, far be it from me, those who honor me, I will honor, and those who despise me will be disdained. He wants this relationship, and for all the right reasons, he wants it done his way. His way works, man's way doesn't. Man's way leads to pain, God's way leads to success. So he honors those who honor him. John chapter 5, verse 44. John chapter 5 and verse 44. The Living Bible says, no wonder you can't believe, for you gladly honor each other, but you don't care about the honor that comes from the only God. As we honor one another in relationships, because we know we must in order to keep that relationship fluid and growing. But he says, you can't really believe in me if you don't understand that you have to honor me in the same way, but even on a deeper level than that. The New International Version in John 5:44 says, you like to receive praise from one another. He says, but you don't try to win praise from the one who is God alone. How then can you believe me? See, God takes our honor to Him very, very personally. And when we really begin to understand that, and get that in our hearts and mind, then we can understand, what's the Sabbath all about? Why do I need to keep it, and how would I keep it in a way that pleases God, the one I'm betrothed to? Exodus chapter 20. Now we'll get there. Exodus chapter 20. As we're in this fourth of the Ten Commandments, we have to believe and know that God made these for all of our benefit, our relationship with Him and our relationship with one another. And it wasn't an accident that He put this in. It wasn't a temporary lapse of sanity that He would finally come to His senses when Christ arrived on earth. Exodus chapter 20, verse 8 says, Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And say, well, you know, hope somewhere out there you find it in your heart to remember, hey, I'm God, you know, I made you. So if you get around to it, appreciate it. There wasn't a suggestion here. It wasn't an alternate possibility for something else. He said, remember, don't forget, because our relationship is going to depend on it. It's a sign between me and you. It is a very strong way to tell whether you're going to keep the others of those commandments that I have for you that are for your good and your benefit. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days, labor and do all your work. I know we're all busy. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. Remember it. In it you shall do no work, your son, your daughter, your male servant, your female servant, your cattle, your stranger in your gates. He says, and just generally he says, remember, this is my day. This is special to me. He's not trying to set up some code of, you know, you went this far, you've done too much, or you didn't go that far, you've done too little. It's, where's your heart? Where's your mind? Verse 11, 6 days shall the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all in them, but he rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. A couple of weeks ago, I read part of a transcript from a sermon by the Reverend Ricky Hoyt. This is a universalist minister. And if you remember, when we read that one, we were talking about don't make any graven images. And he's the one that was telling his congregation in a sermon, supposedly representing God. He said, you know, the Ten Commandments, some of them we have as a moral guide. We kind of enjoy them. But there are two we no longer even try to do. We no longer even pretend. And that is, don't have any graven images, and the Sabbath. Those are two that we just know that we as Christians don't have to worry about. The others, it kind of blends in with some of our thoughts, so okay, we'll do it. He continues talking about the Sabbath, and here's his take on the Sabbath. He says, how we have our Sabbath is nearly limitless. This is a sermon he's giving on keeping the Sabbath. He said, we need to keep the Sabbath. But he says, how we have our Sabbath is nearly limitless. As always, in our Unitarian Universalist faith, we are free.
We're free.
We're free to create our own Sabbath whenever and however we like. Isn't that amazing? He says, well, you know, we need to keep the Sabbath because there's some good principles in there. Just kind of a nice thing for us to do. And even people looking at physical aspects and emotional aspects realize that taking a day of the week is healthy for people. But he says, we're free to create our own Sabbath. Now God says, remember, the Sabbath, keep it holy. I have made it holy. He says, your Sabbath could be Sunday, Saturday, 1 hour Wednesday mornings, every evening from 11 to 11:30, that'd be handy. I might make that my fast time. Well, in 11 and 11:30, since I'm in bed by then, right? Monday through Friday from 10 to 10:15, when you take your coffee break. So when you take your coffee break at work, this is my Sabbath. Incredible. He says, it doesn't matter so much when it happens, as that it does happen. It could be your 15 minutes a day or whatever you decide, but you decide and just keep a Sabbath. Doesn't really matter when. That would be like saying to my wife, well, we'll keep an anniversary. Doesn't really matter when, and the time I met my girlfriend in high school is as good a time as any. Wouldn't work. He says, we're also free to have our Sabbath through whatever spiritual practice works for us. Okay, so our time with God, you do it however, whatever works for you. You know, and he says that could be Tai Chi and yoga and Zen meditation to prayer. As Unitarian Universalists, we're walking the labyrinth, going on vision quests, and he gives these little ethereal type things about keeping my Sabbath, right? He says, observe the Sabbath. Not because it's written as a commandment attributed to God in some ancient scripture. Who cares what God said in the ancient scripture? That's old history. It doesn't really mean anything. He says, but because it's written in your heart. You know, so 10 to 10, 15 on your coffee break, Sabbath's written in your heart, good enough. Do a little yoga or something along with your coffee break. No problem. He says, and make it holy, because even for we who decide for ourselves what is holy, we need holy time in our lives. Isn't that incredible? A guy that calls himself a minister of Jesus in some aspect, I'm not that familiar with Unitarian Universalists, but he very plainly says, for we who decide for ourselves what is holy. I decide Saturday is not holy. God says the Sabbath is holy. It's kind of like an open marriage. You know, there are people that have open marriages. They're married to one another, but they're free to go and have relationships with whoever else they want throughout the week or whenever. That's kind of an open marriage. They don't keep track of one another. God does not have an open marriage with you. And God has a closed relationship with you. Just like a husband and wife should have a closed relationship with their unit that they are. And people who feel free to pursue their own life outside of God, God feels free to reject those who reject Him. So it kind of works out. Let me give you the key to properly keeping the Sabbath. The key to properly keeping the Sabbath is this. Do you dedicate the Sabbath to the love of your life? God. God should be the love of your life. God is the one that should have our heart, should have our mind, that should dominate our thoughts. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. You seek God and God's way, and your marriage relationship will be what it ought to be. Your relationship with your children will be what it ought to be, and at work and everything else. Dedicate the Sabbath to the love of your life. That's God. Assuming He is. Because God says He is. I am betrothed to you in righteousness. And it should be that type of a relationship between us and God. Or do we make God in our image and keep it selfishly our own way? Like Ricky Hoyt, who says, we'll decide what's holy. Is that what God says? Isaiah chapter 58. Isaiah chapter 58. He says, here's part of the deal. In our relationship. Isaiah 58 verse 13. The International Version says, if you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath, from doing as you please on my holy day. That kind of set the stage. Is it clear? Is there something we misunderstood about the relationship between us and God? He wants us to consider Him first and foremost in our lives, and on this day particularly, where He says, keep yourself from breaking the Sabbath and from doing as you please on my holy day. And if you call the Sabbath a delight. Now that's not a bad thing. It says God's law is not burdensome. It sets you free. It would be like taking time with your mate, or taking time with your parents if you're a child, or taking time with your children if you're a parent, and saying, I just hate this time we have to spend together, talking. Or oftentimes for fathers, it's difficult to talk to their daughters, but, your wives properly advise you that it's necessary and give them that time, the father's mandate, as you're familiar with growing kids God's way. But call it a delight. And the Lord's day, and the Lord's holy day, honorable. This is honorable. It means something to me. It goes on to say, and if you honor it by not going your own way, and doing as you please, or speaking idle words. Things that take you away from that relationship with the love of your life, God Almighty in Jesus Christ. And if you do that, then you'll find joy, your joy in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the heights of the land and to feast on the inheritance of your father Jacob. You're going to have all the good things if you have this relationship with me and you do it my way. The mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Now what if you had an anniversary coming up? And okay, we've got the anniversary coming up, date set. You know, I'm taking off of work early the day before so I can prepare. And we're going to have this great anniversary. And so it's, say, Thursday is your anniversary. So Wednesday afternoon, you know, you say, honey, I'm getting something special for us here. It's our anniversary. Time it means a lot to you. I love you so much. It means so much to me. The guys told me that there's a special bunch of deer up there on that one hill. And if we go out and spend the night and get up real early in the morning, we'll each be able to bag one. And so I'm taking off early Wednesday on our anniversary. And to prepare for that, I'm spending the night with the guys in the tent. But I'm sure to get the deer early, and I will be home. I'll be back down here for anniversary in time for the football game. Okay? So when I get back, it's just you and me. You know, we'll break out the beer and, you know, popcorn, and we're just going to snuggle watching that football game. You know? And the way I got it figured, because this, it's our anniversary, right? And I love you so much. The way I got it figured is that by the time the football game's over, we'll have a half hour or so rolling hay, you know, and then just in time, because Survivor's on right after that. So how does that sound, huh? Well, you know how it would sound. You know how long you'd live through that process. It wouldn't work. But isn't that what people do with God? God says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Don't go doing your own pleasure on my holy day. Don't talk your things on my holy day. Don't do your work on my holy day. Do things that help our relationship to grow. What would that be? Well, God talks about the other Ten Commandments and loving one another in assembling together, learning about God's Word and looking at the Scripture, in having discussions, building relationships. And that can include, you know, your family and time you spend with your family and doing special things where you're building that relationship and you're including God in that process. Just so many things. How many rules do you have for your anniversary? Probably not a lot. There's some basic things that, hey, you know, it's our time. It's what we decide on, that we, whatever it is, we are going to have a relationship together. You don't give a list of do's and don'ts. You know, scribes and Pharisees developed 1,500 additional regulations. You know, it'd be like, well, we're having an anniversary, and I got it all typed out here, you know, on the rules. Don't do this, do this. You know, for example, one could lift a child on the Sabbath day unless the child had a stone in his hand. And then you're lifting more than you should, you know. So there, that was one of the rules. A doctor could take steps to keep a sick man from getting worse but couldn't do anything to make him better. You know, yeah, I got these rules, you know. You couldn't cook dinner or use your false teeth or rescue a drowning man. You know, there are rules that they came up with that were just so many. You know, a lot of rules aren't necessary if you understand what the Sabbath is all about. If you understand your relationship with God. And if we have the love of God literally in our hearts and our minds, you don't need a list of church-given rules. Yeah, there are principles. There are good, Mr. Pinelli gave a really good couple of sermons on the subject and just outlined some of the principles to help us to be able to see from God's perspective how things might be. We don't need a church-given list of rules. You know, just ask some basic questions. Does a football game help you draw closer to God in your relationship with Him? Or going hunting, or, you know, that type of thing. How is that drawing you closer to God? There are many things you can do. There's a lot of latitude in many ways. God's interested in our relationship with Him. Just like you don't have much latitude in your relationship with those around you, because there are things that work and things that don't. There are things that work and things that don't in God's holy Sabbath. If you have a true dedication to God, you will consider that God has our best interest in mind. He made the Sabbath, and He made the Sabbath for you, so you could draw close to Him. He's the Lord of the Sabbath. He loves us so much, He made that Sabbath rest for us. Let us, in kind, show our love towards God. Let us remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy.